In his young days, Fettes studied medicine at a school in Edinburgh. He had a talent for it, and his masters soon picked him out as a lad who listened closely and remembered well. There was, at this time, a certain extramural teacher of anatomy, whom I will designate by the letter K. Mr. K was then at the top of his vogue, enjoying popularity due partly to his own talent as teacher, and partly to the incapacity of his rival, the university professor. All the students swore by K, and Fettes believed that his own success began when he acquired the favour of this meteorically famous man. Mr. K was a bon vivant as well as an accomplished teacher. Fettes came to his attention this way as well, and by his second year of school, Fettes held the half-regular position of second demonstrator or sub-assistant in K's class. In this capacity, Fettes was in charge of the theatre and lecture room. He had to answer for the cleanliness of the premises and the conduct of the other students. More germane to this story, it was part of the duty of Fettes to supply, retrieve, and divide the various subjects. I am being polite in my terminology. By subjects, I mean bodies, cadavers, for the students to dissect. In fact, Fettes was lodged in the same building as the dissecting room. It was here, often after a night of turbulent pleasures involving drink, that there would be a knock on his door in the black hours before dawn. Fettes would stagger up from bed and find, waiting for him, the unclean and desperate interlopers who supplied his table, the same men who one day would become infamous throughout the land. Fettes would relieve them of their tragic burden, pay them their sordid price, and remain alone, after they had gone, with the unfriendly relics of humanity. He would return to bed, to completely repair the abuses of the night, and refresh him for the coming day's labour. The supply of subjects was a continual problem for Fettes, as well as to his master. In that large and busy class, the raw material kept running out. The resulting business of replenishing the supply was necessary but unpleasant, and threatened dangerous consequences to all who were concerned. It was the policy of Mr. K to never ask questions when dealing with the trade. "They bring the body and we pay the price," he would say, and add, "Ask no questions for the sake of your conscience." There was never any understanding that the subjects were provided by the crime of murder. Had that idea been broached to him, Fettes would have recoiled in horror. But K's avoidance on the topic of origin was such that it was an offence against good manners and a temptation to his sordid suppliers. Fettes, for instance, had often remarked to himself how fresh the bodies looked, and he was struck again and again by the hangdog, abominable looks of the ruffians who came to him before the dawn. Putting two and two together in his private thoughts, he perhaps guessed at a meaning too immoral to be discussed with his master. Fettes knew his duty. Take what was brought, pay the price, and avert the eyes from any evidence of crime.